Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo page. Echo membership will provide you with unlimited access to other educational material, as well as a huge number of other advantages. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu. Hello, my name's James Lindsay. I'm the Education Officer of Echo, and in today's podcast, I'm going to be discussing the practical use of ustekinumab for the treatment of patients with inflammatory bowel disease. Ustekinumab is a monoclonal IgG1 antibody against the P40 protein, and this protein forms a key part of two important cytokines in the inflammatory cascade that causes intestinal inflammation. When P40 joins with P35, it forms the cytokine IL-12, and when P40 joins with P19, it forms the cytokine IL-23. Therefore, ustekinumab blocks signaling of both IL-12 and IL-23. The clinical data that supports its use comes from the Phase 3 UNITY trials. These consisted of two induction studies, a maintenance study, and a long-term extension study. Both induction studies had the same protocol in that they randomised patients to either placebo, 130 mg of intravenous ustekinumab, or 6 mg/kg of intravenous ustekinumab. The difference between them was the population that they recruited. The first included patients who were refractory to anti-TNF therapy, and the other those who were naive to anti-TNF therapy. In the maintenance arm, responders to induction therapy were then randomised to one of two doses of ustekinumab maintenance therapy subcutaneously, either 8-weekly or 12-weekly, or discontinued drug and had placebo injections. Patients at the end of the study could then continue for up to 4 years in a long-term extension study. The key results of the induction studies show that both doses of ustekinumab are more effective than placebo at inducing response in patients with active Crohn's disease. Like other drugs, it's clear that patients who are naive to anti-TNF do better than those who have previously failed this medication. Some patients have a very early response, with falls in the patient-reported outcomes within about a week of treatment, and these included the frequency of stool, abdominal pain, and general well-being. Patients randomised to either of the two doses of ustekinumab did significantly better than placebo over the 44-week maintenance study, both in terms of clinical remission, response, and steroid-free remission. And again, those who were originally naive to anti-TNF seemed to have a greater magnitude of benefit than those who had previously failed that agent. There have also been studies assessing the impact of treatment on endoscopic healing, and these show a clear benefit of patients treated with ustekinumab over and above placebo. Interestingly, in the endoscopic data, patients on 8-weekly dosing seem to do better than those on 12-weekly dosing, and again, better than placebo. Within the Phase 3 clinical trial program, there were no concerning safety signals. And in fact, when one looks at the registry-based use of ustekinumab in an alternative disease, psoriasis, we can see that there are no concerning safety signals from the perspective of infection or malignancy compared to other agents used in this condition. In terms of the duration of benefit, as I mentioned, at the end of the maintenance trial, patients were able to enter a 4-year open-label extension, and they were then continued on treatment with either 8-weekly or 12-weekly ustekinumab injections. And over at least 3 years after randomization into the maintenance arm, patients maintained benefit, with up to 70% of patients being in remission at the end of the trial. In addition to the Phase 3 clinical trial data, there is also a wealth of real-world experience supporting the use of ustekinumab in Crohn's disease. In one study from Spain, including about 120 patients, the majority of whom had failed at least two anti-TNFs, there was a strong signal of benefit after induction therapy, with over 80% of patients having had some benefit. When one looks at clinical remission, just over a third of patients were in remission at the last follow-up. In the same study, There was also evidence of improvement in objective markers of disease, including a fall in CRP and a reduction in the endoscopic burden of disease activity. A French study, again looking at just over 120 patients with anti-TNF refractory Crohn's disease, showed the duration of benefit of ustekinumab treatment, looking at outcomes up to 12 months, with just under 70% of patients remaining in remission on ustekinumab at that time. One of the questions that comes up when considering the use of ustekinumab in patients with Crohn's disease is there any evidence that it has an impact on perianal fistula healing? Now, there have been no trials that have focused on this as a primary endpoint, but we are able to look at those patients who were enrolled in the immunity and the original phase 2 trial who had perianal disease at baseline and assess their outcome over time. Clearly, this wasn't powered to show a benefit of ustekinumab in this patient group, but about a third of patients experienced fistula resolution during induction, and more patients on ustekinumab experienced fistula healing than those receiving placebo in the maintenance trial. Another question that people often ask, is there an advantage of using combination therapy with either a thiopurine or methotrexate? And again, we don't have the equivalent of a SONIC trial, which was designed to answer this question specifically. However, when one looks at the serum ustekinumab concentrations in the phase 3 trial, there was no difference in the concentration of drug between those who were on a thiopurine or methotrexate and those who were receiving ustekinumab monotherapy. Talking of drug levels, I think we should consider whether there is an exposure-response relationship in that patients with higher drug levels of ustekinumab seem to do better. And there certainly is a signal that this may be the case. And when one looks at the patients in the phase 3 trial and divides them into quartiles of drug level, the response and remission rates are higher in patients who have achieved higher drug levels than those with lower drug levels. And this raises the question about whether there would be an advantage in giving an additional intravenous dose in patients on ustekinumab maintenance therapy who lose response. This question was addressed by a presentation at DDW this year, where patients who lost response to 8-weekly ustekinumab maintenance injections were given another high-dose intravenous infusion. And this trial showed that just over 50% of patients entered clinical remission and had a biochemical response. And it was clear that the patients who did better were those who had higher levels of ustekinumab after the reinduction intravenous infusion. Finally, I think some very new and exciting data is about the use of ustekinumab in ulcerative colitis. The UNIFY induction and maintenance trials were designed in exactly the same way as the trials for Crohn's disease, and they included a placebo-controlled induction trial, followed by responders to that being re-randomised to placebo or the two doses of ustekinumab and continued over the maintenance arm. Both the induction and the maintenance trial showed significant benefit of drug over placebo, and ustekinumab received EMEA approval for use in ulcerative colitis within the last few days. I hope you found this useful, and thank you for listening.